Go to Psalms 109, and let me just destroy and shatter this stupidity for a second. It says in Psalms 109, look at verse 6, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. You know, some people get mad at singing Psalms 139. This one seems more harsh. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Someone needs to put this to music quick. And let his days be few, and let another take his office. Now, you say, who is he talking about? Keep your finger here, because we're coming back. Go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. The Bible says there's a certain person that you want a wicked person to come over him. You want Satan to be right next to him. You want when he's judged to be condemned. You want even his prayers to be sin. You want his life to be short. You want whatever office he had to be taken away from him. Now, the Bible tells us exactly who we're talking about. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which is the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning, notice this, Judas. So the Bible says, hey, David, when he was preaching, whenever he was speaking, it was about Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alsadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So it's saying, hey, that bishopric in the Old Testament is his office, and it's saying, let someone take his office. So go back to Psalms 109. Go back to Psalms 109. The Bible just tells you 100%, we know for a certain, this verse is about Judas. Okay? So let's read that in mind. Set thou a wicked man over Judas, verse 6, and let Satan stand at Judas' right hand. When Judas shall be judged, let Judas be condemned. And let Judas' prayer become sin. And let Judas' days be few. And let another take Judas' office. Okay? But let's keep reading. Verse 9. Let Judas' children be fatherless. And Judas' wife a widow. That's extreme. Let Judas' children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that Judas hath. And let the stranger spoil Judas' labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto Judas, neither let there be any favor to Judas' fatherless children. Let Judas' posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, Judas' name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of Judas' fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of Judas' mother be blotted out. Now this is extreme. You know where it's coming from? Exodus 20, the Bible says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You know what that tells me about Judah's family? They must have all hated the Lord. They almost been haters of God. And he's saying, hey, let Judah's father's sins come on Judas. And let Judah's mom's sins come on Judas. And not just Judas, his children, to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate him. Look at verse 15. Let them, meaning Judas' family, be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of Judas from the earth. Because that Judas remembered, notice this, not to show mercy. So how much mercy did Judas show? None. But persecuted the poor and needy man. What did Judas do to the poor and needy man? He persecuted them. Notice this, that he might even slay the broken in heart. Oh, what was Judas' ministry like? He persecuted the poor. What did he do? He slayed the broken in heart. Now keep your finger here. Go to John chapter number 12. Go to John chapter number 12. Keep your finger here as we're coming back. How did that work out? How did he persecute the poor, Pastor Shelley? Well, you know what the Bible tells you if you actually read the Bible. But there's stupid idiots out there that don't read the Bible. And they just spew out nonsense like Judas is, you know, the greatest soul winner. Oh, man, he's so awesome. Why don't you actually read what the Bible says about him first? And then start forming opinions. John chapter 12, look at verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You know, he persecuted the poor. He would guilt people into giving money and then steal it and not give it to the poor. So he'd actually persecute people that were poor. He would steal their money. He was a thief. Oh, he's such a great guy. No, he's wicked. He was wicked the entire ministry. He would slay the brokenhearted. You know what Jesus did? He healed the brokenhearted. You know what the Bible says in Luke 4? It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So Jesus was helping the poor. Jesus was preaching the gospel to the brokenhearted. What was Judas doing? Persecuting them, slaying those that have a broken heart. Go back. Go back. Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound. Judas didn't go around doing that. He slayed the poor. He persecuted the poor. He slayed the brokenhearted. Jesus was healing them. Jesus was blessing them. Jesus was preaching them liberty. Look at verse number 17. What was Judas like? As Judas loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As Judas delighted not in blessing. So how much blessing did Judas give? He didn't do it. He didn't delight in it. He just cursed. So let it be far from him. Notice this. As Judas clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment. This guy loved cursing so much, it was like his clothes. So let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into Judas' bones. Let it be unto Judas as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord and of them that speak evil against my soul. Oh, man, after reading that, you know, this is what Manly Perry said about Judas. He said he was a superstar apostle. A superstar apostle. What kind of an evil person says that? Go to Titus chapter 1. Let me go to another place. You say, why are you preaching this, Pastor Shelley? Well, first of all, Judas can't get anybody saved. Not just Judas. Even the stony-hearted Christian's not going to get anybody saved. Even the Christian with thorns in his heart isn't going to get anybody saved. You know what it takes? A good heart. It takes a good heart to get someone saved. And you know what? The stupid nonsense of saying Judas is getting people saved, well, then how much less a Christian that has a stony heart? You know what? They're not going to get people saved either. And the thorny-hearted Christian is going to get people saved either. We need to tell people, hey, you need to have a good heart if you want to get people saved. And you need to go out and preach the gospel. You know what? It's destroying soul winning by saying Judas gets people saved. You're an idiot and a moron and a fool, and you're wicked. Look what Titus chapter 1 says, verse 15. Under the pure, all things are pure. But of them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, sounds like Judas, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. And notice this phrase, and unto every good work, reprobate. Well, I think Judas did some good works. No, they're reprobate. Every good work, every single one of Judas' works were all reprobate. They were all wicked. They were all evil. Doesn't that match what we just read he was like in Psalms 109? How about when you read the story of Judas Iscariot? Is anything he's saying or doing good? No, he's always lying. He's stealing money. The devil's entering his body twice. Oh, I wonder if that's when he's getting people saved, when he's possessed by the devil himself. I mean, what kind of nonsense? Look, this is an important doctrine that we have to understand. You know, a man and a woman get married and they have children. And a godly Christian gets saved, and he goes out and he preaches the gospel, and he gets someone saved. And we don't want to shy away from these doctrines. We want to keep them and emphasize them and teach them and preach from the housetops. And let me tell you this, an unsaved person can never do any good works in the name of the Lord. It's not possible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God is not letting unsaved people run around just doing his work. It's not rocket science. You know how many people that are not hired by me, that don't work for me, that I don't send them, do work for me? Zero. You know how many people work for your boss that don't work for your boss? Zero. You actually have to hire them. You actually have to get on the team. You actually have to be part of the group. And look, Jesus Christ is not commissioning the unsaved to do his work. He's commissioning them to get saved. And then once you get saved, now you're in the Lord's army. Now you can do the work of the Lord. Let me prove this. Look at Acts chapter 19. Here's some guys trying to do the work of the Lord, but they're not saved. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. not who they preach, it's who Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, the chief and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Let me tell you what, I don't care what you say verbally, if you're not saved, it doesn't have power. I don't care if you can train a parrot to preach the gospel, that's not going to get people saved. I don't care if you get your little Siri or your parrot or you write the tract. Look, it takes faith, it takes a man of God, it takes a woman of God, it takes someone that's filled with the Spirit to preach the gospel, because that's what has power. That's what gets people saved. Go to Matthew 7, and I'm almost finished. What do we learn? Well, if you're going to be fruitful and multiply spiritually, you have to have a good heart. Number two, you can't be evil. Number three, a corrupt tree bringeth not forth good fruit. You're never going to see an apple on these trees out here because they're not apple trees. You're not going to see bananas. You're not going to see a baby born on it. Okay? You're more likely to see a baby born on that tree than Judas getting someone saved. You're more likely to see a rock turn into a child than Judas getting someone saved. Because God said that he could raise up children unto Abraham from the stones, okay? But you know what the Bible clearly says in Matthew 7, verse 18? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It just can't happen. It's impossible. And people that believe this doctrine are either 100% ignorant of the Bible or wicked as hell.